Welcome to Grow Your Influence Tree with your host, Leonard Kim. This is the show especially for those that want to be among the top influencers of the world. We'll help you build your brand, tell the most compelling story, build your reputation and grow your audience, and attract the top clients and customers. Listen to the experts. Think like they do, and you'll be on your way. Now, here's Leonard Kim.
Hey everyone, Leonard Kim here, and today we're doing another personal brand consult with James Ellsmore. James is only 26 years old. He's a co-founder of a company called Solar Head of State. He's been named one of Forbes 30 Under 30 in 2017, and he's got a lot of media coverage, and he's doing some pretty big things. And for someone who's only 26 years old, that's pretty impressive. But you know, everyone wants to have their brand analyzed, see what they could do to tweak it to make it be better and everything. So James is on the line with us. James, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. As you said, 26 years old, I'm from the UK, but moved to the US when I was 18 to go to college in North Carolina, lived in there and then in California, and I started Solar Head of State. It's actually a nonprofit while I was in college, and continue doing that. I'm still really involved with that as a nonprofit, but eventually after finishing college, I realized I needed to do something that actually earned some money as well. Although I really enjoyed the nonprofit work. So now I'm kind of juggling the nonprofit side of things with doing my own consulting projects. And really my area of interest is broadly sustainable development and renewable energy. But I particularly have been focusing on island regions. And actually my master's degree, believe it or not, is island studies, which is a real degree, I have to tell people. And right now I'm talking to you from Aruba in the Caribbean, so a nice place to be working.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. I don't think I've heard of many island experts in my life. So that's pretty cool. Out of curiosity, you went to UNC. What was the chancellor like?
The chancellor?
Uh-huh.
Carol Fultz. I didn't really get to meet her too much, but as far as I know, she's fine. Why is that?
Well, she just took on a new role at USC as a president.
So. Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I think there have been a lot of scandals at UNC over the last few years. To be fair, none of them her fault. So I'm not surprised that she looked for something new. There's been a bit of a difficult political environment there.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Just curious. Anyway, so let's go over your stuff. You're over in your expertise is really in island sustainability, and you also have a Solar Head of State, your charity. Can you kind of describe more about what your goals are?
Sure. So right now, the last kind of 6 months, I've been focusing on monetizing what I'm doing a bit more, because although I was quite good at getting press and getting kind of interest from people, I hadn't really managed to convert that into something that actually paid me. And as I said, once you graduate from college, that becomes a big reality that you have to focus on a lot more. I guess my goals in the next few years are really to formalize the consulting company that I'm trying to build some more and really get some clients. And perhaps one thing I've been struggling with is spreading myself too thinly and trying to be whatever people want me to be, as opposed to focusing down on individual things. And I've been playing a bit of a tug of war there. So really hoping to build the consult. When I say the consulting company, I've been doing a bit around kind of general communications work for companies in the sustainability space, particularly energy solar companies, but then also kind of some various different projects really that have been all under this theme of sustainability and energy, but coming at it from quite different angles.
So basically, your ideal client would be like an energy panel company or like a company that's reducing emissions or something like that. And then you would do their marketing and communications as like an agency, right?
Yeah, so working with them, particularly the social media and communications, how they can better communicate their message and show what they're doing, but also from a business side as well. So how they can, for businesses that aren't already incorporating sustainability into their business, looking at perhaps how they can build that into the business model.
Cool. So why would a business want to become more sustainable? And if they were going to do it, wouldn't they have done this like a decade ago when the Scream movement was happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general there is still a green and interest in sustainability across the country, and there are some businesses. I mean, to be honest, most of the companies I've worked with are renewable energy companies, so for them, their business is inherently green, and they don't really need to do anything. I guess what I'm conscious of is not. I don't want to work with companies that want to kind of greenwash, seem like they're green, and put on some green paint, unless their actually core business model fits that. But I think we've moved on a bit from the green. It used to be kind of a generic green kind of movement, but now there's a lot of kind of business arguments in terms of the sustainable development goals, the international goals that are put forward by the UN, that a lot of businesses are really trying to fit the sustainable development goals into their core business model.
And usually when a company decides to make more sustainable decisions, they bring in a consultant like yourself to kind of analyze what's happening.
Again, it depends on the company, and I guess that's what I've been struggling with a little bit, is whether I just focus more on specifically renewable energy companies, and that is actually quite a big market in itself, or whether I broaden it out to business, to other areas that might want to incorporate this kind of sustainable messaging into their business.
Well, I think just looking at your website, the first thing it says is I help businesses become sustainable. So when you're like that line right there only caters to maybe 200 people in the entire, maybe 2,000 people in the United States who are in the active role, and it's their job to actually do sustainability activities. That's why I'm asking, because if that's what you want to do, then I mean, it's a small group of people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it. It's a great thing to do, but then I don't know if that's a good market in regards to your goal to generate revenue, as opposed to maybe helping the green type companies do their marketing and communications.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And I guess now you say that, it's pretty obvious, but I hadn't thought about it like that. So thank you for putting it into words for me. I think, to be honest, most of the customers that I've actually been working with have been green tech, clean tech companies that want to improve their messaging. So that's perhaps, my own lesson from that is that I need to change my website to reflect those customers. I guess I've always been scared of going too niche, and it's that battle of being too niche and being too broad and trying to find the sweet spot.
Yeah, and I think another side of it is when people look at income, it's how much do you really need to live a comfortable life? Some people think it's 50 grand. Some people think it's 250 grand. Some people think it's $2.5 million. And I think one of the things that you really have to consider is how much work is this going to take you, and how much could you charge? When you're looking at those two different things, do you mind if I ask how much you charge right now, or is that something you don't want to talk about online?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have fixed rates. As we said, I'm still kind of building up in a direction, and because the projects I've been doing have all been so different, mm-hmm. I've been kind of charging on a project basis. I've never really done an hourly rate. It's always been a project quote. So if I had an hourly rate, I would give it to you. I mean, we could say upwards of $150 an hour. So not kind of the top end or anything, but I still think I'm wanting to get experience and kind of do projects that I find interesting now. So I've been charging lower than perhaps some people in the same area.
And how many hours do you think you work a week based off that calculation?
Oh, on a weekly basis, it just varies so much. I still do a lot of, sorry?
Monthly then?
Monthly, to be honest, I don't know, because I'm doing a lot of work on, difficult to estimate. Like I mean, yearly right now, I would say I'm not at the 50 grand mark yet. But having said that, that is a huge increase from what I was doing like a year ago when I was barely earning anything. So I think maybe by the end of this year, I could really, really increase that. I still feel like I'm at a point where I'm kind of rapidly, rapidly growing.
Okay. Just to let you know what the market charges, if you were to work with like one company and maybe invest about 30-ish hours a month, usually what other people like you do is they charge in between a $2,000 to a $5,000 a month retainer. With that in mind, it would take one client $5,000 a month to basically earn you more money than you have now.
Yeah. And I will say as well that at the moment money isn't kind of my number one goal. Like obviously I want to earn more money, of course. But I'm like I'm in Aruba now on a project, which is pretty cool. So I'm willing to be a bit flexible on the money, at least for the year ahead. If I can then kind of make sure I'm learning and growing myself as in the business.
Yeah, I mean, take the money aside. Let's say it's even $2,000. I don't think you should be charging anything less than $2,000 a month to be just because of your time commitments that you're going to have to put into this. And once you have like 10 clients, if you're charging anything less than $2,000, it's just going to be too difficult for you to maintain. And I mean, you could get to 10 clients by the end of this year, no problem. Even at $2,000 a month or $5,000 a month, either one, it doesn't really matter. But then that's going to be around $240,000 to $600,000 a year. But the thing is, if you're going to take on a lot of clients, you also have to think about it the other way. How much help are you going to need to fulfill your duties? Is there extra things that you have to take on? So you're going to have some regular business expenses that come with it. And as time goes by, you're going to have to slowly increase your prices. So looking through your, I guess what we'll do is we'll go over to a commercial break. I'll take a look through your website a little bit, and we'll see like what small things we could do to like tweak it so that you're better positioned to turn your profiles into something that makes money and gets you business. Cool.
Thanks, Lana.
No problem. Okay. If you want to check out James, his website's JELLSMOOR.com. And you can always find me, Mr. Leonard Kim, on Twitter and other places. And we'll be back after this commercial break.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
It's time to unlock some of the best kept secrets in health, wealth, and happiness. Are you ready to live your life to the fullest and hear insider tips from today's experts? Then tune in to The Forbes Factor with celebrity TV host and inspirational icon, Forbes Riley. She's a best-selling author and TV fitness expert, and you know her from QVC and HSN. Now she brings her expert advice and guests to the Voice America Influencers Channel. Tune in live every Tuesday at noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern time for The Forbes Factor. We guarantee it will be the best hour of your week.
Want to improve your health, business, and life just by listening to a radio show? Well, we can at least move you in the right direction. Listen for Spotlight, the Allison H. Larson Show. Each week, Allison will speak with amazing guests and find out what's changed their lives and how they are changing the lives of others. From beauty to health to business and personal relationships, we're here to inspire you to live your life of passion. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
This is Grow Your Influence Tree. To reach Leonard Kim or his guest, call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or drop a line by email to hello@leonardkim.com. Now, back to Grow Your Influence Tree.
Hey everyone, Leonard Kim here, back with James Ellsmore, and we've been looking through the website, figuring out what we could do to make some tweaks to make James' brand look a little bit more stellar and compelling, so he could turn this all these accolades, all these awards, all these great things he's done, into something that's actually revenue driving and landing more clients. Since this is stuff we have to do in the world, like pay our bills. Yay! So I've been taking a look through your about section on your website, and it's pretty great. You know, you list a lot of your great awards and everything. One thing that I would suggest, though, is it's very accolade driven. And maybe some personality there, like. For your accolades, like, let's see, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs. 6 paragraphs are pretty much about your accolades and stuff like that. And then you have a small award section. I mean, it's great to have all these amazing things happen in your life and to really do this, but I mean, what I would do is I would probably suggest that you shrink it down to about 1 paragraph, 2 max, where you're talking about your accolades.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So this is what I do. So it's like, Leonard Kim is a top, recognized as a top marketing influencer by X, Y, and Z. He's the whatever at the company I work for. Since I have a book coming out, I guess I added in that line too, right? Just give a little bit of credibility, then I flip it around to the first person, and I'm like, hi, my name's Leonard, and let me tell you a little bit about myself. And then the next 4 to 5 paragraphs, I really focus on like what I'm doing now, why it's important, why it can help, and how I can help that target market. So in this situation, if you're targeting green companies, it's kind of highlighting what you do for your marketing and communications. And I mean, sometimes someone's going to come across that bio and they're not going to be a green company and they're going to be like, oh, he's a Marcom guy. Cool. Maybe he could do Marcom for my non-green company. And then, I mean, it kind of opens up the door there too. So maybe you could take on some non-green companies as well too. Usually how I position that is when I have a client, I usually hop on the phone with them for an entire hour, and I ask them about their whole entire history from like childhood to how they got to where they are today. Because a lot of people, when they're developing bios, they kind of leave out those personal elements. Like, I see in your bio here that it's very like work-driven. The only real personality that I really see from this is that you still have a home base in Shropshire, England, and work remotely. But Yeah,
I feel like that is actually something I could really talk up. I mean, part of my interest in sustainability is kind of stems from growing up on a farm and living in a rural area, and kind of that was a major driver in kind of that connection, I think. So that's a nice element from my personal life to talk about. And then right now, to be honest, like I live wherever I am. So I gives me super like flexibility. I struggled to know how to like explain that in a succinct way, because people use the word digital nomad, and I think that can sound a bit obnoxious. So I've been wondering kind of how to incorporate that as opposed to just saying kind of homeless wanderer.
Okay, let's try real fast. So, hi, my name is James Osmore. I grew up, let me tell you a little bit about myself. In early childhood, I grew up on a farm in a rural area. And because of those deep roots, what I ended up wanting to do was further my career into sustainability. Because at the very beginning of my career, or at the very beginning of my life, when I was around animals, around grain, those gave me the values, those helped shape my core values, ethics, and morals at the time. And I figured that this is something I wanted to do in the future. Little did I know that I would have to earn an income one day after I graduated college. But somehow, while I was there and when I was running my nonprofit, a lot of people gave me awards, I was on a lot of TV shows, and I talked about great things. But, you know, with time and credibility, there comes a day where you just have to pay the bills. So what I decided to do is take my area of expertise, which is in marketing and communications, and my goal is to help as many green companies as possible do their MarCom. Now, if you're wondering where I live, it's funny to say, but I'm probably in a different country and a different environment all the time. And some days you might catch me in Aruba, other days you might catch me here. And I basically go where the project takes me to go. And that doesn't really give me the opportunity to have a home base. So I fly everywhere. And yeah. But see, if it's something like that, it kind of encompasses what you do, your personality, makes you more down to earth, things like that.
Yeah, you made me sound much more interesting than I did when I tried to write about myself. So I appreciate that. And just from having this conversation, I realized that everything you just said was things that I already said in this call, really. So that is really helpful feedback for the bio. I guess I'm also wondering, I mean, I know the bio is an important part, but mm-hmm. how many people are going to be reading the full bio? I feel like in practice, you maybe someone's going to read the first paragraph, but I don't know to what extent it's kind of super important. I mean, it's important, but is it the first thing they're going to look at?
No, it's not the first thing they're going to look at. The first thing they're going to look at is either own the media or earn media. That means content you're producing or content where you've earned and got into like the Today Show or whatever, right? That's the first thing they're going to see. That's the first thing they're going to do. But after they see your content, the second thing that they're going to do is if they're interested in what you had to say, is they're going to look you up. And how do you look someone up? You look at their bio. So, like, let's think about it this way. How does someone go and buy from you, right? First, they see your content. They're like, okay, cool. Two, they see who you are. That's your bio. Three, they see what you do. Four, they read over what you do. Five, if that is what the person needs, they hire you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's worth thinking. I guess to be honest, even though I kind of have this good social media following, I'm contributed to Forbes, you know, I've got kind of some good platforms online. Most of the clients that I have come through existing networks. I haven't actually had any serious leads come through my website, which is maybe why I've been neglecting it slightly?
Well, it's just not set up the right way. That's really it. I mean, you make the tweaks, you make the modifications, and it happens. So, let me ask you a question. So you're in school, someone's about to do a lecture, and then you look them up before you go, and then you see they have like 10 pages of all their accolades, right? And like all their published studies and things like this. What's the first thing you think before they speak?
Huh. I'm not sure. I yeah, go on.
You want to know what I think? It's like, oh yes, my God, this guy's going to be like the boringest lecturer ever. I don't want to sit here. I'm going to go skip this class and go do something else, right?
Yeah, because he's just going to talk about himself the whole time.
Yeah. And then like when, like let's say we look at your bio right now. Like this is all the accolades that you have sitting there. And there's a reason you're not getting leads. It's because people go to your website and they're like, okay, is this guy possibly like really like full of himself and just winning all this stuff, right? I mean, obviously on this call we can tell you're not, but then it's just positioned that way.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have found that I've struggled with how to present myself online, and I think I come across a little bit differently and probably a bit arrogant sometimes online, and that's obviously not my intention. And hopefully when people meet me in real life, they don't feel like that. But I hadn't thought of it in the way that you said with the bio page. So I'm definitely going to rewrite it with those ideas in mind.
Yeah, and if you're coming across as like what you just described, the problem is people aren't going to want to reach out, and they're not going to want to like connect more and things like that. So you're already creating content, so you could keep creating content, but another thing you might want to do is add some personalization into your content based off your firsthand experience. Like, let's see, clicking on blog, looking over your content. I like
the blog
Instagram.
Is still early.
I liked your Instagram. It's very pretty.
Thanks.
No problem. Another thing is like on your LinkedIn, like there was like one line in your bio, which I mean, if you make this bio and you put it into your LinkedIn too, then there's just a lot more that people could go off of.
Sorry, which line?
Oh, I went to your LinkedIn earlier today, and I think I saw like one sentence there in your description area.
No, I've got a good LinkedIn bio. Or I think it's good anyway. It's it's well developed, hopefully.
Let me go back to it then. Let's see.
I actually spent quite a lot of time on it last month, so I'm sure you're gonna rip it apart and have a much better idea. But I'm happy with it at the moment.
Let me take a look. James, what's the easiest way to get there? Okay, found it.
You got it?
Oh yeah, I see it now. Sorry, it just showed one sentence earlier. Maybe it's because I didn't click. I have business. I just take out the sustainability, keep the marketing in there. Hey, you wrote that you're a digital nomad here.
Okay, so maybe I have used that in a couple of places, but I always feel like too obnoxious when I use it, so then I always write it and then delete it again. But if people know what that term means, it at least describes kind of what I'm doing. Do you think it sounds a bit obnoxious when people say that?
I just have a confused look. I'm like, okay, what does that really mean?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but I think it's like, I mean, it's okay to kind of, I think it's hard for me to like picture what it means, because I have a friend who's like really a digital nomad, and I have another friend who's just getting away so that he could live off $2,000 a month and have one client and go party all the time in a foreign country. Like,
right.
It's like, when, I don't know. I think it's because of my other friend that it kind of gives it a different perception on the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like that with anything, though. Like, you look at like the word marketing, and then maybe two people come to mind. Maybe one's like Seth Godin, and you're like, okay, that's cool. Then maybe on the other side, you think Ty Lopez, and you're like, okay, I'm not sure if that's cool, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think it's just that perception is built into the eyes of the reader, and it's based off what they see and how they feel about it. And yeah, so it's not that bad. But this bio is a lot better than your other one on your website.
Phew, thanks.
No problem. Let's see. I just added a little more personalization in there, like that farm stuff and things like that. So, like, for a bio, you mentioned the link. Like, some people who are going to go to your page are going to read one sentence and be like, okay, cool, I got enough. Other people are going to read, like, a paragraph and move away. And some people are going to go and read the entire thing, whether it's 3,000 words, 5,000 words, 500 words, whatever it may be. And then those people are going to become like your advocates, the people that are going to help you no matter what, or who believe in you, things like that. And I think it's important to go through different areas of your bio and like leave little like headliners for each one. Like early life, discovering my passion, college, high school, first relationship, first business failure or something like that. And if you think about it, when you meet someone for the first time, how do you get to know them?
I guess they don't recite their whole life history with 3,000 words in one go.
But usually what you have to do is you have to kind of build rapport, find common ground, start talking, and then a few other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you slowly build out the relationship. Think about your bio as like a hack where you build an instantaneous trust with the person you're talking to immediately, because if they're reading the whole thing before they meet you, they'll start thinking and bringing up topics like, oh my god, you had a horrible relationship in high school, me too, or they'll start talking to you and be like, wow, your passion for renewable energies came from you growing up on a farm, that's so cool. And then they'll start having conversations with you based off your bio, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I stay home and hide, because I have too many conversations like this.
No, that's a really good point. I think it, like, I come across hopefully as more personable in real life, and I don't necessarily, now looking back from my website with those comments and then to a lesser extent the LinkedIn bio, it doesn't really give you much of a sense of my personality.
Yeah. And then in regards to your what you want to do for your Marcom, maybe you should have separate page on your site that says like work with James and then, or work with me or something or anything really. And then in that page, you clearly outline like what you do and how you help green companies with their Marcom.
Okay. Actually, I did have that on my old website. I realized that's kind of lost that. Well, there's something, I guess, at the bottom of the homepage. It's kind of like, you see the three columns?
Going back to your website.
But that's it needs to be a bit more explicit as work with me.
One moment. Oh, speaking in workshops, social media management, sustainability consulting. Yeah, I don't know if that should necessarily be on your homepage as opposed to, yeah, I think that should be on a Work With Me page, not your homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Your homepage should be... three sections. Let's see. What can we change those for? One, maybe you could have be your about section. Two could be your work with me section. And three could be speaking or your media room. Either one.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's see. But yeah, you should definitely have a Work With Me page.
Okay, yeah, all right, that's
cool.
That's something I'll add into it.
It's a commercial break time, so we're going to hop off to a commercial break. You can check out James at jellsmore.com. You can find me at Mr. Leonard Kim, and we'll be back after this commercial break.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Tune in to the Tony D'Urso Show with key influencers for entertaining and thought-provoking weekly discussions with some of the top stars in their fields. From business, sports, and science to entertainment, music, and literature, Tony's guests share their success and give their wisdom. If you're looking to manifest your vision and see how others have done so, be sure to listen to the Tony D'Urso Show every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Do you believe that being fit is difficult? Do you think it requires turning in your favorite comfort foods for boring chicken and broccoli and spending hours in a gym? It doesn't. Tune into Have It All with Devin Alexander. Devin and her guest experts will show you how you can have it all at any age, from relationships to money to thinking bigger than you've ever imagined. Devin will fast-track your goals to yummy reality. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Change starts here. Change starts now. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
This is Grow Your Influence Tree. To reach Leonard Kim or his guest, call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or drop a line by email to hello@leonardkim.com. Now, back to Grow Your Influence Tree.
Hey everyone, Leonard Kim here with James Ellsmore. We've been chatting about lots of fun things. And then I had a question for James that I wanted to bring up. For the content that you're creating, most of it's on Forbes?
Yeah, I'm doing between 5 and 8 pieces a month for Forbes. Blog posts, mostly on renewable energy or sustainability.
That's a lot of content. And then in regards to that content, you're putting it on Forbes. Are you putting it anywhere else too?
I have been reposting some of it on my own blog. So the blog site, which you saw a link on my personal website, is The Nomad Entrepreneur. But to be honest, the content that I'm writing for Forbes and the content I will post on my blog is kind of different. The way that I have my blog set up, it doesn't necessarily have that fit. So it's probably something that I need to work out where I can create a bit more synchronicity between the two.
Yeah, I just noticed it went to a new domain. I didn't see that earlier. That's kind of interesting. Well, one thing that you could do in regards to your content production is it's great that you write for Forbes. Not a lot of people do that, and I mean, that's a pretty big thing. But
the thing with content is you want people to read it as much as possible. Anything that you create, you want it just to be seen as much as possible. Forbes helps distribute your content, which is great, but there's ways where you can get your content distributed even more. If you put your content onto sites like Quora and Medium, they could push out your content to their existing networks too. Then also at the same time, by you putting it back onto your website, that kind of goes into that kind of gives people an ability to read around what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to double check my contract, but I'm pretty sure that I can. Forbes is only exclusive for like the first 5 days after I publish it, so there's a lot of scope to reuse that content. And I've also found that actually the views are generally in the first kind of 48 hours or so, and then they drop off pretty quickly. So Forbes is good for kind of it's good for the first short time period, but it doesn't necessarily get views into the future.
Cool. Yeah, that's usually how it works. And then, just as someone who's created a lot of content, I've found that when you put things on Quora, it has a pretty long cycle of being seen versus like a Forbes. Like Forbes, you're going to get a lot of upfront views, but then Quora, you're going to get like views over a long period of time. Like I haven't really written much in the last 2 years, but then I still think I get like around 100,000 views on my content on Quora, and it's been a long time since I wrote there.
I haven't really used Quora before, but I thought that Quora is more for asking questions. So do I need to make sure if I'm going to post content there that I frame it around a question, or I'm actually posting it as an answer to someone else's question?
Okay, so let's say you wrote a piece on 7 things in Jamaica that blah, 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 right?
Yep.
The reason you wrote that piece is because there's a question that you have in your mind, and then that article answers that particular question, like how do you build sustainability in Jamaica or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just think about what that question is and either do a search for it, or if it doesn't exist, then just ask the question and answer it yourself.
Oh, I see. So it could either be as an answer to someone else's or posting my own question and answering it.
Yep.
I need to get more accustomed to Quora. I've not used it, so I'll check that out.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, like, people follow topics there, right? So if they follow a topic like sustainability and you're writing on sustainability, they're going to see your content even if they didn't follow you, because Quora is going to push it out to more people who follow that.
I've also noticed that Quora posts rank pretty highly in Google. So, like, if you search for a question, then Quora is likely to be one of the top results as well. So whereas the Forbes ones, as I said, drop off pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's that too. And Medium has a pretty powerful... Medium's really good for SEO too, for some reason. And like they have little small publications throughout Medium. You could submit your stories to them and see if one sticks. And then they push it out to their network.
What do you think about LinkedIn articles now? Because LinkedIn kind of goes up and down with the articles and how well they get seen or distributed.
Oh, yeah, you should put it on LinkedIn too. I forget LinkedIn exists.
I feel like the reach isn't as good as Medium and Quora.
What I see working really well for articles right now on LinkedIn is if you have a strong social intro where it's like broken down into like short sentences with a lot of spacing, and then usually the cover image is of someone saying a quote. Those usually do well. Like they'll have like 10,000 likes, and it's a picture of like Simon Sinek with a quote that he says, and then somewhere in that article that quote exists there.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. So maybe look at your existing content and then just sneak a quote in there that someone else said from a long time ago, and then just stick their image on, and it'll do well.
So that's actually put a quote in the cover image.
Yeah, but LinkedIn's finicky. It changes all the time, so this isn't going to work 3 months from now. It's just going to work right now.
Okay, I'll see how I get on with that.
Yeah, they change their algorithms way too much. It's like the new Wild Wild West where like all these growth hackers are like, blah, 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 let's all go and like hack the system. And they're like, okay, everyone's manipulating it. Let's change it up.
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's really difficult. Like groups used to be so good on LinkedIn, and now they've just kind of died.
Yeah. But there's a lot of potential there, too. You said you were going to ask me about your newsletter?
Yeah, so I have this newsletter, which, to be honest, just started as more of a hobby. It's Island Innovation, and so it's more like collating news. Obviously, I push my own articles that I've written in there as well, and then a collection of other articles, probably every 2 weeks or so. So it's more of like an information newsletter that I write, as opposed to, quite different than most probably marketers that are more like selling. I don't really use it right now to sell anything. I haven't monetized it. I get maybe $70 a month through Patreon, but that's about it. That just covers my costs. And I get a lot of signups on that through LinkedIn. Like I'm on about 5,000 subscribers right now. I'm sorry, LinkedIn and Twitter, and it maybe grows by a couple of hundred a month, but that's not with, I don't have any lead magnets or anything. That's just with people signing up to it. So I feel like that's fairly good growth for something like that. And I'm wondering if there's a way that I can, I guess, incorporate it better, because I feel it's maybe a bit disjointed from my current website.
Well, you could just put like a little pop-up or a little banner at the top that says sign up for the newsletter, and then make it sound a little enticing with some copy edits. Adding a thing at the end of any article you're creating, just saying, sign up for my newsletter here.
Yeah, I do that with Forbes. Forbes is quite generous in how they let me kind of put links to my own website on there.
That's cool. I have a question. Why does this go to the Nomad Entrepreneur instead of just your website for your blog?
Which does what?
Why is your blog website? Nomad Entrepreneur instead of josmore.com/blog?
Well, I figured that the blog would be a separate, made more sense to be a separate site. And I'm probably going to question that now I just kind of always assumed that the blog was kind of a separate website to the J. Ellsmore website, which I saw as more of an online resume. But you're saying it probably makes more sense to consolidate it all into a single website?
Yeah.
It's also one difficulty I do have is with my name being a bit difficult to spell. I'm conscious that I might lose people. It's good in the fact that I'm the only James Ellsmore, as far as I know. So if someone knows how to spell my name, it's easy to find me. But people always spell it wrong, so I worry that they'll... They won't be able to find me necessarily because of the spelling.
Well, I wouldn't worry about that too much, because anyone who's going to look you up isn't going to type in your URL into the thing. They're just going to Google you and click the link.
I guess I have to see it. If they spell it wrong, I'm not sure if my name still comes up. Probably doesn't matter too much. But in terms of the Nomad Entrepreneur website, yeah, my I always figured that would be more of kind of an online travel/business blog that is a separate thing to my personal website.
I combine it. I tried typing in James Ellsmore, A-I-L-S more, and it says, did you mean James Ellsmore? And it kicked me back to you.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so okay. I'm pretty sure a lot of people misspell your name and it kicks it back to you because AIL is pretty far off.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good thing is you have all that credibility from before, so Google probably knows that people are looking for you and you kind of stick out for that.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. I'll have to think about how I can consolidate my blog, whether it makes more sense to incorporate the blog into my main website. For some reason, the blog is also the website's running super slow, and I haven't figured out why. So I might need to rebuild it anyway.
Okay, I don't know how to do that part.
No, okay. I wasn't asking you, but I feel like it's a big problem, right? If it takes more than a few seconds to load a website, people just give up and leave because they have such a short attention span. So it's relevant in that sense.
It depends. On the computer, people stick around and just open another tab and come back to it. On the phone, yeah, that's a problem. So on a scale of like 1 to 10, how did you feel this was in regards to like helpfulness?
No, this was really helpful in just rethinking it. I think a lot of the things you'd said I'd had at the back of my mind, but then you pointed out some really clear areas that I can improve on. And I think just making the story coming across as more relatable and also making a clearer offer of what I'm actually providing, which is not necessarily a communications problem. That's like a business problem that I need to settle down on one thing and do well at that instead of trying to kind of do too many things. So I can see, I've got some really good ideas now on how I can redo my website, and hopefully that will actually make the website generate leads. Because I do get a lot of traffic for it, but that's just not really converting into leads.
Yeah, it'll start converting once you position it right.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to know that it's not kind of huge fundamental changes to the website. It's just kind of making those tweaks, and hopefully that will help to improve that.
Cool. So do you think this was like a 5 out of 10, a 3 out of 10, or?
In terms of helpfulness? No, I would say we're closer to 10, more like an 8 or a 9.
Cool. Sounds good. There's
definitely some new areas. So, no, I really appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, I have a personal branding course. It's valued at like $2,600. I'll just send that over to you so you can take it and go through it. And I'll just help you with any of the other areas as a follow-up. Also, if in October when my book comes out, Ditch the Act, Reveal the Surprising Power of the Real You for Greater Success, if you could help me promote it or something around that time, it would be appreciated.
Yeah, for sure. As long as you follow me back on Twitter, then I'll do whatever you like, Leonard, to help me.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Well, everyone who tuned in today, thank you for joining us for another episode of Grow Your Influence Tree, where we do personal brand consults and pretty much help people really go out there and make those small minor tweaks on their business. And hopefully all this information here was helpful to all our guests. If you want to follow James, it's JELLSMOOR.com. And you can always find me at Mr. Leonard Kim. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Grow Your Influence Tree, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for making us part of your week. Listen for Grow Your Influence Tree with Leonard Kim every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Stand out, stand apart, and become a top influencer. We'll see you here next week.